thank the Lord for Him teaching us about prayer in the Bible and in our daily experience. And Jesus said, when you pray, say, Our Father in heaven, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. That's something we pray on a regular basis, and we really want God to build that in our lives. I really rejoice in the experience of forgiveness because I think that's one of the gifts that God gives to us most regularly. Of all the gifts He gives us, say the gift of life, we're so thankful for that. Life forever with Him, another gift. And the gift of forgiveness, pretty much need to receive that and know that every day, pass that on probably to folks around us, whether it's somebody in traffic or in your family that's you have a hard time being at one with, or work or school. We all do practice forgiveness. And I recently read a book that someone gave me, quite an excellent book called When Being Good Isn't Good Enough. It's really a book about grace and forgiveness. And the author makes two statements. He says this. He says, number one, and these hit my heart like a ton of bricks, everyone is afraid. And number two, everyone needs to be set free. So as you go throughout life, you should recognize fear that you might have about God or other people really comes from a sense of unrest or not feeling at peace with God. If that's the case, then there'll be a sense of fear in our lives, and God really wants to set us free from that. If you have a gnawing guilt about, I wonder how God would treat me this morning, or welcome me, or love me, that will wreak havoc on other parts of your relationship. So how does God set us free from those fears? Well, He does so by giving us the gift of forgiveness. And to look at that with you, God, first of all, He forgives us when He does completely as a gift. God forgives completely, and to embrace that. If you were to look up the meaning of the word forgive, it does have to do with a canceling of debt or a record of wrongs that is against us. And so I heard a true story of a man who graduated from college before he got his first job that he had trained for. There was a delay in that. So he married right out of college, unemployed for a while, but was hired by his brother-in-law, who owned a construction company, to work until something else came up. So his brother-in-law met with him one day and said, do you have any debts, coming out of school and starting off the marriage that is a problem for you? And he said, yeah, matter of fact, I do, college debts, other debts, I do have some debt. And so the brother-in-law said, I would like to take care of those for you. I would like to, you let me know what they are, and I will pay them off so that you and your wife, my sister, will have a great beginning to your marriage. And how'd you like to receive that in your wedding day card, all your debts are paid off or canceled. Or this morning, if that brother-in-law, don't we wish he were here somewhere in the back pew, and he would say to all of us, mortgages that need paid off, or credit cards, car payments, please line up, and I want to take care of those. He'd say, I'll lean forward in the pew. All of a sudden, I am excited about worship. All of a sudden there. And yet, what the Lord offers to us in Christ, in the depths of who we are, the very depths of our soul, is a debt forgiven. More freeing than the canceling of a financial debt or getting it taken care of is the forgiveness that He brings to each heart. And so we do say, oh, thank you, Lord. You forgive us completely. And how wonderful the forgiveness of sins is. When Christ died on the cross for our sins, which sins did He die for? He died for all of them, right? In the past, problems you might have had this week, ones you may find yourself in the fields of rebellion in the future. He's died for all of those. It is complete. There's a wonderful song called It Is Well With My Soul, where one of the verses in that song says, my sin, not in part, but the whole, is nailed to the cross and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, O my soul. Are you free from that fear? Or are you set free by Christ? And often we wonder what the record of our sins, what happens to them, you know. As a pastor at an earlier church I was at when I was younger and more zealous and maybe a little more out of bounds, I wanted to motivate people, for example, to come to worship. So what I did was I went to the group who was helping serving the church, group of elders, and I said, I would like to keep a careful record of everybody who comes to church, and I would like to list the number of times people come to church throughout the year and publish that in the annual report. I don't know what got into me, but I think my motivation was really probably thinking it through. I thought, well, at least my name will be high on the list, you know. Daniel's 48 and 52, whatever it is. And then, you know, I've always wanted to motivate that Mrs. McGillicuddy. And when she sees her name with one, you know, at the bottom of the list, if she doesn't worship because she loves Jesus, well, I'll shame her into it, you know. And the wise, more experienced elders in the church said, I don't think you should do that. We don't think you should do that. But to ask ourselves the question, where is the record of your sins? Where is it? Is it in your home in a drawer? Is it in your heart that bugs you every day? Is it in the pastor's study? Hopefully not. The pastor has other good things to do. But the Bible says the record of our sins is nailed to the cross, isn't it? Nailed to the cross, and we bear them no more. So we don't have to nail ourselves about those. And likewise, we don't have to nail anybody else about theirs. Nailed to the cross. Love keeps no record of wrongs, the Bible says. And God has no record of wrongs against you because of Christ. He welcomes you like He welcomes Jesus to be with Him at communion. He forgives completely. He forgives freely. Often we forgive with conditions attached. Christ says, I will die before you have a chance to even turn to me, and I'll win forgiveness for you. Isaiah 55, verse 7 says, turn to God. He will freely pardon you. Did you ever unexpectedly get pardoned by someone? Oh, you feel great. The relationship just says, what a heart that person has. What a heart God has. And in the gospel, in Romans 3:23, all have sinned and fallen short and are put right with God freely by His grace. Freely. Better than the cancellation of a debt is the work of God who comes to bring forgiveness. And you might think, boy, the problem in my life is too much sin. We have sin. We have a sin problem. That's our biggest problem. But beyond the sin problem, in fact, our biggest problem, someone said, may not be just the sin that's there, but the fact that we won't take the cure for that sin, which is the forgiveness of Christ. What would be worse, to have an illness or to not take the cure that God freely offers? And so I think even in a group of believers, the biggest difficulty is not sin in the church. The biggest problem is the hesitation to take the good news of Christ in the church, which does set people free. That's where we most often fall short. There's a former president of a Methodist seminary who said, our problem is sin, but God knows we are a million times worse than we know. Well, thanks a lot, Mr. President, for that news. But he was trying to say that Christ is sufficient to give us that freedom and that peace with God that each of us want to live in and want to live with. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and he'll set us free to be loved by Him. As far as east is from the west, He removes our sin from us. One writer put it this way: because of Christ's goodness and forgiveness, we as we put our trust in God, we receive a grade for our life. You know, a grade like you get in school. A through F. And the grade that God gives because of the cross is an A. You got an A. Now, if you got an A, you'll begin to live like an A student. If you don't think you get an A because of Christ, you'll keep working and get the D minus or F that we have earned or deserved. Christ comes. And if we get an undeserved A, would we be willing to graciously pass that on to another person? An undeserved A. Or maybe we think it's just for us. It's the gospel to be passed on. He forgives completely. Hebrews chapter 10. By the one sacrifice, God has made you perfect forever. To know His love and kindness. That does motivate us. And then God forgives repeatedly, not just completely. More than 70 times 7, said Jesus. Now, how many had the experience of committing the same sin more than once? Just take the first commandment. Don't have any other gods before the Lord. I broke that twice in my life, you know. We repeat those problems we have. We have that tendency. God understands. If we were the most committed Christian, only broke a commandment once, you know, of all the, in the Old Testament, there's 600 some. And have we only broken once, failing to love the neighbor, failing to love God? Someone said, well, if you're a very committed believer, by the time you're 70, you've committed 20,000 offenses against God. That's just one per day. The amount of debt. And that's just so we don't compare ourselves favorably with those outside the church, isn't it? Would someone compare themselves favorably with somebody else with that kind of debt? They'd say, no. Christ. So glad that He's the answer. And so we say each day, Lord, thank You for forgiveness. Like we ask for daily bread, we could say, Lord, forgive me my sins each day. And if it appears to be a heavy weight of forgiveness we need, remember the good news. A lot of opportunities to experience forgiveness. Jesus said, those who are forgiven much, love much. I find in working with people that those who recognize the spiritual condition of their own hearts are very loving toward others. Those who are forgiven much, love much. Those who are forgiven little, love little. Oh, I ask God to forgive me once this week. I'll probably love you, you know, half a second today, if that's the case. Those who are forgiven much, love much. God forgives repeatedly. So if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just. He'll forgive us our sins, cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And if you struggle with sin and wonder, I don't understand how God can keep forgiving me. You know, when we know we're forgiven, some of the sins that trip us up become not so powerful in our lives. If you were run down by, I knew a fellow, for example, who had a problem with a foul mouth. And he thought, I just can't overcome this cussing that's in me, you know. But when he knew that Christ would forgive him, that forgiveness broke the power of this habit he had. And he said, you know what? Whether I cuss or not cuss, God will be with me. So I'll cuss less because of the love he has. It's forgiveness that has the power to change a life like nothing else. So to be forgiven repeatedly helps us turn to Christ and live in a godly manner. And then the Lord says to us, forgive as we have been forgiven. And I think we'll never do part two unless we rejoice in part one. You know, unless we rejoice in the fact that God has forgiven us, why in the world should we forgive everybody else who are so obstinate and wicked and everything we think about people at times? But we are forgiven. I remember as a young Christian, shortly after meeting Christ and knowing the wonders of the cross, I found it very easy to forgive people. there would be an offense or a problem, I'd think, well, I know Christ forgave me, so I'm more than happy to forgive other people. You know, because that was a fairly recent experience of redemption in my life. The longer I'm a believer, and if I drift away from what God did for me, you know what? It takes me quite a long time to forgive people. Now, you know, I'll feel bad about something for weeks, months, if I don't remember what Christ has done for me. And Christ forgives freely. We forgive by practice. I think God's patient with us in our ability to pass on that forgiveness. Stephen, who was a Christian just like you and I, when he was being killed, he was able to pray something that virtually Jesus prayed from the cross. He said, "Father, don't hold this sin against them." And remember, Jesus from the cross prayed while he was dying, "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing." That's a good prayer to pray if you have a hard time forgiving others. "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing." How true that is. Does anyone understand the depth and seriousness of any sin we do? No, only God does. "Lord, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing." If you have a hard time forgiving others, you might see them at the foot of the cross with you. Jesus prayed that prayer for you. He prayed it for them. You could pray that for the other person with his help. "Father, forgive. They don't know what they're doing." And when Stephen was being killed, facing his own death, the hardest part of his life, to go back to the thought of fear and being set free. Do you think Stephen was afraid of the people who killed him when he said, "Lord, don't hold this sin against them"? Do you think Stephen was trapped in his soul, or was he set free because of what Christ did for him? And you and I, with the things that weigh us down, we don't have to be afraid. Well, how would you like to face this week? With fears or with forgiveness? The forgiveness will make the fear disappear like a nice sun dissipates the fog. And God will provide as we turn to Him together. So come, as we have communion together, it's a reminder of Christ, what He did for us. Come and taste the wonder of sins forgiven that He gives. And then we could be joyful all the day, a song says, as we turn to God. I'm going to read the scripture to prepare for the Lord's table and then pray with you about people who have a few needs. Paul said, "For I received from the Lord what I passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night He was betrayed, took bread. When He had given thanks, He broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, after supper, Jesus took the cup. 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until He comes.'" Let's pray together. Father, as we approach Your table, thank You for inviting us. And we take the bread and the cup remembering You, remembering You died on the cross in our place, so we could have the gift of eternal life and the forgiveness of sins. Father, our biggest sin this morning probably wouldn't be anything in our heart, but it would become a not taking the forgiveness of God. This would hold us back more than anything. The one sin that will keep people out of heaven: not taking the forgiveness of God, not taking Christ. So we do embrace You and desire to pass You on to others. We pray for those who have needs, for those who buried loved ones this past week. We pray for Your grace to be with Chet Truxell, remembering his great-grandson. Pray for Dennis Irwin, just losing his dad yesterday. And we pray, Father, for folks hurting physically. We remember Randy Ferentz and Wayne Felter, for Connor Derry, Fred Azevedo and their physical needs, Lord. Be a help to them this week. Be with Mrs. Zelniak's daughter. Give her strength in the days ahead. And Lord, help us to embrace you during this time. Make it a special time, Father, between your heart and each heart here. We thank you for Christ our Lord. In his name we pray. Amen.